So we are holding on your Dalaran Bays, 10 lines from the bottom. One and two. Okay, so we mentioned yesterday, we brought yesterday that Shmuel had said that if you buy a field from somebody who turns out to be a Goslin, Shmuel had said you don't get the Shvach. We asked, what about if you said specifically that I'm going to be able to collect the Shvach as well? And Rav Nachman said, still not, because it is. Oh, why are you guys sitting all the way over there? You can sit closer over here, you know. I know, but I moved out of chairs anyway. Yeah. Right. Rava was asking on him on the basis of a Mishnah that mentioned Achilas Peiros, which we thought maybe is referring to Shvach Kakoyes rather, which we thought maybe is referring to a Gazlan. We said no, it's referring to a Bachoyev. We were a Braisa that said Harish Gozal thought of a Havera, and Nachman told him anyway that there seems to be a mistake in the Braisa. As it is, you're gonna have to explain it that you were having to explain it that it's somebody who bought from a Gazlan. So instead explain talking about it was taken by a Bachoyev and therefore it's not an issue. So next, Toshma, l'achilas peiros keitzad. What does it mean when we say that you don't take for achilas peiros from the chasam b'shabadim, as we said yesterday, if it's tikkun olam? If a person steals a field from somebody else, and now it's being taken away from him, true goyva, when he collects, and again, what does it mean when he collects? Doesn't mean that that's what we have to figure out. Goyva to kerem and the chasam b'shabadim. He collects the kerem from the chasam b'shabadim, the actual value of the field. Or peiros goyva and the chasam b'necharim. He can collect the peiros from b'necharim. So heichidami ilem kedikatani. So what are you talking about? If you take the braita at face value, that it means that he, meaning the goblin, goblin man gavi, not being reimbursed by anybody. Evidently, it must be talking about, like we thought about yesterday's braisa, that it's talking about somebody stole a field from somebody else, sold it to somebody else, that person improved it, and now we're talking about that person when the nigzel takes them up. It's not the same braisa. Before we said, well, shvach goyva, here we say peiros goyva.
Didn't you say
what? You have to say it tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
because the people sitting over here saying children, it's not going to be yet. Yeah, sorry about that. I thought you might have. That's right. I thought you might have thought that. That's why I tried calling you. But all right,
that's my turn.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. Okay. So on your Dalaran Bays, a few lines on the bottom. Okay, so yeah, yesterday it is almost identical to the braisa that Rava quoted to Rav Nachman yesterday. The difference is that one said that Ushmach Goyim, and this one says Achilas Peir. This one says Peiros. You get from the Chasam Necharim. So again, it can't be talking about the Gazlan himself trying to get reimbursed for the Sadr of the Peiros. There's nobody for him to ask for reimbursement from. We must be talking about that the Gazlan sold it to somebody else. Now, here Rav Nachman doesn't tell him that there's a mistake in the braisa, let's change it. Maybe because we don't want to assume there's two braisas like that that are mistaken. One braisa, okay, you could save it. So Rava himself comes up with the answer this time. Omar Rava, hocha maiskin, v'nch gozol sodom haverim malei peiros. Suppose that he stole a field from somebody else that is full of peiros. Va'ochol at the peiros, chof laboris shichin amiris. So now he did two things. He ate the peiros, and he also dug boris shichin amiris, and then he also damaged the actual kauke itself by digging holes in it.
The Gazlan.
Therefore, we're not talking, when we're talking about somebody who's coming to get reimbursed, we don't mean the Gazlan himself, obviously. We don't mean the person the Gazlan sold it to. Rather, we mean the Nigzel himself. When he's getting the field back from the Gazlan, he needs reimbursement for both those things. He needs reimbursement for the payers that we eat, and he needs reimbursement for the damage to the
character. The previous Bryce we spoke about.
The previous Bryce we said that the Rav Nachman had told him that it may be a mistake, and maybe it means not a Gazlan, but a Bachoy. Yeah, now that Rava is coming up with this answer for this braisa, presumably he could use it for the previous braisa as well, but the Gemara doesn't need to go back on that, besides which anyway, the Maharam talks about the idea there might be a difference when you're talking about somebody selling the field to a third party, there may not be really much of a difference between shvach and peiros. When we're talking about the Gazlan himself, even the peiros, and then the Nigzel getting reimbursed for that, then there is a difference. Or the other way around, actually, he says, rather, that if we're talking about the Nigzel over here, if we're talking about the Nigzel himself taking the field back from the Gazlan, Shvach isn't really significant. He gets back the field. The Gazlan himself, fine, at most he'll get paid for his expenses. There's not really talk about him getting paid for Shvach. Here we're talking about... if they, okay, so he gets paid for his yitzias, he gets paid for his expenses. He doesn't necessarily pay him for the full value of it. As opposed to when you're talking about payrus over here, then there's no reason to think that it's talking about a third party, so therefore it's more logical to assume it's talking about the nigzel himself. So therefore, bun nigzel ligbet keren. So now what we're saying is if the nigzel himself is coming to collect the keren from the gazlan goy from the chasim b'shabadim, that he can collect from the chasim b'shabadim, but bun nigzel ligbet keren, if he's coming to collect keren, which keren there's no fixed, there's no set amount for, and therefore you can't assume that anybody else who the gazlan owes chayvus to is going to have known to be careful, to be careful when they buy property from him, to know how much is outstanding, to know whether they're taking a chance. Therefore, goy from the chasim b'shabadim, therefore, in case you can owe, you can only collect from the chasim b'shabadim.
How much are you going to collect?
As much as the payers are, so fine. You bring ADIB or whatever. However, you figure out exactly how much the payers were. That's not the issue. The point is, you can't put it on the third parties who may have also bought from this Gazlan property of his own to make them give away fields or whatever for it, and then have to get reimbursed from the Gazlan because they can't have known in the first place how much the payers are going to be. Chicken Olam, we want to make sure people are going to be willing to buy fields without thinking there's going to be too much of a risk involved.
So Nigel is the one that's actually taking that
from the Gazlan. There's no third party involved as far as the actual field itself.
Oh.
But there may be third parties involved as far as to collect from the Gazlan. The Gazlan kept the right. Well, he kept that he damaged it. Now the Nigel is the right. Now the Nigel is taking it back. Right.
The small part of the carcass. The main money is the carcass. Right.
True, but the payers, okay. Nevertheless, the payers, okay. Over the years, the payers may add up to a significant amount, but whatever. Well, wait. Well, you know what? The Gemara is going to take up that point later on. The Gemara is going to take up that point later on. Yes.
You've got a field in Ohio. Trust me.
Come on. Yeah. Okay. The point is, yeah, you're right. Sometimes the payers can be a lot, but we're gonna actually address that point a little bit in the Gemara. By the way, before we continue, to correct something that we were talking about yesterday, we had the case where somebody bought a field shaloi b'achrayus and speaking, people came to object that is so you asked yesterday what kind of a kinyan was it according to Rashi if he didn't do a chazaka and he didn't do money, so I mentioned a shtar. So no, actually it's not necessarily that. It might be no, Tosus that's all it is. No, it was rather Mefarshim explained on Rashi. It may be that it was just verbal. It was a verbal agreement. So fine. There's no actual thing over there like Tosfos said. There's not even Misha Parah. There is though a concept that Misha Eina Omid B'Dibura, that somebody who agreed verbally to buy something and then is going back on it without a valid reason, is still maybe not Misha Parah, but he's at least called Mechoser Amana. He's not such a trustworthy person. So we're not dealing with, in other words, then the question wouldn't have been, is he allowed to? He's allowed to either way. The question is, can we validly say that even if he does it, he's not a mechoser amana? So the first version was, if there's no achrayus, then he can. And the second version is, even if there's achrayus, then he can't.
This was a verbal signal for his orders?
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be the way he did. It's just the fact that a person says to the other person, I'm agreeing to buy the field from you. No, in front of Adam doesn't necessarily make it any stronger than the Kenyan, which there wasn't, right?
It has to be a Kenyan even in front of Adam.
Even in front of, yeah, Adam don't create anything for most. For a lot of Dini Mominus, it's a story, the expression of the Gemara, is that the only reason you need Adam is if one or the other of them denies what happened over here. Not to establish the Kenyan. Okay, that's just to complete that. So that's evidently why Tosfos didn't like that, because Tosfos doesn't really would figure. Look, I mean, the Gemara is talking about yochel lachzer, any yochel lachzer. That has to be something more than a moral obligation. I mean, it has to be an actual question of halacha. Okay. Anyway, returning to our Gemara. Rabbi Baruch Hu Amar, here's another possibility that we could be talking about in this Braisa, Harish Gozal Sodom HaVeri, etc. Gretchen Tzlur Mesikin. Suppose that Mesikin came and took the field. Mesikin, we learned about them at the end of Bavakama, are Goyisha, like a mafia or whatever, Goyim who illegally go and seize the field from him. And we said from the Gazlan. And we said in Bavakama, we said, Im Machnas a Gazlan, if it was because of the Gazlan, which we talked about the situation over there, that they go to the Gazlan and are forcing him to show them a field of his that they can take, and he shows them this one, he's a Moiser. So now, he's obligated to reimburse the original owner for the field. So therefore, again, but so it doesn't have to be that he damaged the field, but the fact is the field has been taken by the mistake and it's gone. Bon nigzel ligless keren. Again, if the nigzel is coming to collect the keren, go from the chasim shabadim. Bon nigzel ligless keren. Go from the chasim nechorin for the same reason. Okay.
Chasim
shabadim.
He can go and take
from the chasim shabadim for the actual value of the field.
But these people who have the chasim shabadim. know, they bought it knowing that everything was fine. How
they didn't know everything was fine.
How did that this guy went and sold the field and took it away, and now he has to go pay for something, you know.
Okay, but I mean, evidently there is enough of a clue about it. The fact is, the guy was able to bring evidence that it's his field and be able to get it back from him. They baited him. So there's apparently enough of a clue that people should have known that he has this outstanding debt for the field, and therefore they're going to have to, and therefore they're taking their chances buying Karka from him.
Could they have stipulated before the purchase that they would not be encumbered?
No, I don't think at most they could do arrives, like we said before, that the Gazlan will reimburse them if it's taken away from them. I don't think they have the ability to make it. I don't think the Gazlan, or even a regular seller, I don't think has the ability to make a side deal with somebody else that'll take away somebody else, that'll take away the Malves or the Migdals or whatever rights to this field. So we have two explanations. One, Rava's explanation that he damaged the field, and Rabbi Bar Avuna's explanation that it was taken by mistaken. So why two explanations? Rava lo amaka Rabbi Bar Avuna. Rava didn't like Rabbi Bar Avuna's explanation because hare yotzi mitachas yadim v'hina ve'ena mashma v'hare yotzi mitachas yadim v'dina mashma. The word hare yotzi mitachas yadim doesn't imply that it's being taken away from him by force, by mistaken. It implies it's being taken away from the Gazlan through a legal process, in a din terra. So therefore, the only possibility is he damaged the karka. And yes, but implies that the karka is still be'en, that it's not damaged karka, as opposed to Rava's explanation requires that now it's damaged, reverse chicken amaya. Ravashi here says, here's another possibility. Fine, Rava's and Rabbi Bar Avuna's answers, explanations of the Braisa both have problems based on the Lashon. So fine, let's take another possibility.
What problems?
The problems that we just said, that Rava's explanation doesn't really fit well with the words Harei Yotzi Mitachas Yadei implying that the field was the Ein. But it implies two things. It implies the field was the Ein. It implies that it's being taken out by a legal process. One or the other of those, it doesn't seem to work. So Ravashi says, another way we can look at it is Dodin Katani. When the Braisa mentions the Keren and the Paris, it's talking about two different cases. He stole a field from somebody else that's full of Paris, but Ochol is a Paris, so he himself ate the Paris and is now on the hook for them. And now he sold the field to somebody else. So Yotzim Tachas Yadei now does mean that there's a third party from whom it's being taken away. Therefore, Bola Keach Ligbeth Keren. So now, and when we talk about who's getting reimbursed, there's also two different parties that are getting reimbursed for the two things. Bola Keach Ligbeth Keren. So the Keach is coming to get reimbursed for the Keren because the field is being taken away from him. That goes from the Chosim Shabbatim because of the usual rule. But the Keren can be done from the Chosim Shabbatim. But Nigzal Ligbeth Peres. And if the Nigzal is going to be the one who's going to, the Nigzal is the one who's going to be coming to collect Peres, goes from the Chosim Bnei Chorin. Then again, he can only get that from Bnei Chorin because Tikkun Olam.
That's
his problem. He shouldn't have stolen.
And you know, the Nigzal.
The Nigzal is what? The Nigzal is, well, how much is the Nigzal losing? The Nigzal is not. The Nigzal is getting the field back from the Gazlan.
Right.
The Lakeach is going and getting reimbursed by the Gazlan for the value of the field.
The Gazlan doesn't have the money.
It's like any other usual case. You know, he owes it when he can afford it.
And the Nigzal?
The Nigzal gets his field back. And as far as the Paris, again, he sues the Gazlan for the Paris. Again, if the Gazlan has what to pay, then he pays. Okay. The only difference is that he can't collect it from Bnei Chorin. He can't collect it from the Shabbatim, only from Bnei Chorin. Okay. Now, the question is, Bein le Rava, Bein le Rava Bar Avuna, Milval Pevi. According to either Rava or Rava, if we're talking about getting the Keren from the Gazlan himself, we're not talking about a third party who bought it from him. Isn't it like a Milval Pevi? Or milval pay in a government of chasm mishabadim. So a milval pay you don't collect from mishabadim anyway. So what are you talking about? They took an olam that the first of all, okay. So as far as the pay, in both of their explanations, the payers you're getting from the chasm and echorim, there's no chiddush in that because you'd anyway only get, because for a milval pay everything you'd only get from. And why are they saying that the keren you're getting from the chasm mishabadim? Basically, your question: How are the other buyers supposed to have known? How is there supposed to be a coil such that they should know to be careful? We should say that they can only collect even the keren from the nechor. The answer is my skin is shomad b'din v'hadu zavim. Yes, but we're talking about over here where they went to a din Torah, and then later on he sold other properties.
is.
So in other words, this guy, the Gazlan, stole a field from Reuben. Reuben took him to Beis Din, and Beis Din ordered, and Beis Din decided that he's guilty and is going to have to pay it back. After that, at some point after that, the Gazlan went and sold a field to Shimon. Now, when Reuben is going to get the judgment executed to actually collect from this Gazlan, he can take from the Nechas and the Shabbatim that was sold to Shimon. Once there was already Omer Badin, there was already a Kur. There was already a Kur, yeah.
And if he sold it before the
deed, he sold it then it wouldn't be a Kur, then yeah. Okay, so the question is, Yochid Peiris now. Fine, in that case, wouldn't the same thing apply to the Peiris? At that point, when he sued him, they didn't know what the value of the Peiris was that the Gazlan ate, so therefore, you just included in the whole thing. The answer is, yes, but we can be talking about a case where he went to a din Torah regarding the Karen, but not regarding the Peiris. No, we don't know. In other words, the Gemara is going to ask itself in a minute why he would only be doing one or the other. But the point is, he knows at that point how much is the Karen. He doesn't. He himself, the Nigzel, doesn't know yet how much are the payers. He's still trying to gather evidence or whatever it is. Therefore, he takes him to Beis Din for the Karen. The Gemara is going to ask in a second why he wouldn't wait until the payers. That's going to be what Ben-Tian said, basically, that the Karen is a lot more than the payers usually, and therefore you'd rather get that over and done with first.
Here's the question from the Gaza.
Yes.
Because
the karka itself isn't available anymore. According to Rava, it was damaged. We need to reimburse him for because it was damaged. And according to Rava Bar Avunah, it's a little mistaken. Either way, the karka itself is gone. We're talking about getting money from him. Yeah. So it's damaged. You have to pay him. We're talking about paying for the value of the damage. The karka before the Boris Shukin and Myers
was
gone. But now the Gazlan has to reimburse him for the damage. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. According to Rava Bar Avunah, the whole field is gone because the mistaken took it. Tosfos points out, by the way, you would think, if it weren't for the Gemara saying this, that maybe, okay, once they were on the Din, and there's already a curl on the field, maybe there's already a curl, there were payers over here, we don't know how much, but we know there were payers, and therefore people are going to be careful. No, we still say that, Mifnei Tikkun Olam, we're not going to allow them to collect from Mishra Bajim. Because nobody knows how much the actual thing. Okay. Well, my psaka, so you might ask, what makes you make that distinction? Why should the Braisa be telling us davka a case where Omer Dinar Karen and not Omer Dinar Peiris? Isn't that unusual? The answer is no. Stomach de Milsa, Kitava Inish Karen, Tava Inish Karen, Tava Bereisha. No, because you can assume when a person is Tevea, when he takes the Gazlan to Beis Din, he's first going to go because of the Karaka. Because the Karaka is worth generally a lot more than the Peiris. And you'd have to have the Gazlan would have had to be in possession of the field for quite some time in order for those sort of payers to exceed to exceed the value of the karka. So usually the karka will be worth more. So therefore we can assume that he would first go to Beis Din to deal with the karka. Later on he'll work on assembling the evidence for the payers and deal with that. Fine. So far we're still good. We don't yet have any reason to slog up what Rav Nachman said that in all cases you never get the shvach from the Gazlan because of the concern of Ribbis. Okay. Now going back to Shmuel's original statement, where Shmuel had started by saying that Mois Yeshle Shvach Eloi. So going back to that original thing, without even Rav Nachman saying that even if you said explicitly, we're talking about that Shmuel himself had only said it if you hadn't specifically said one way or the other.
About
Shvach. Rav had said Yesh Lemois V'Yesh LeShvach. Shmuel had said Yesh Lemois V'Ein LeShvach. Then we asked, what happens if you explicitly said, when you bought from this guy, if it turns out that it's stolen, I'm going to demand the Shvach from you as well. So we said Ravuna wasn't sure. We said Ravuna wasn't sure, and Rav Nachman said it would be messy to read this. But now we're going back to Shmuel's original statement, which is that you don't that as a general rule you don't collect shvach from a gazlan. So Sava Shmuel lekeach the gazlan lets the shvacha. So are you telling me that Shmuel holds that if you buy from a gazlan, you're not entitled to get reimbursed by the gazlan for your shvach? But we find that Shmuel said to Rav Chinina bar Shilas, who was a sofer, Imlich, you should check with the seller when you're writing a shtar to sell a field. Check with the seller because of shufra shvacha opevi. And right there, similar to what we learned yesterday, although a little bit different. Well, here it's a little bit different. We're leaving out shibur and we're adding another one, which is pevi. check with him whether to write shufra that he's accepting on himself that he'll pay back from the best of his from the best of his chasim shvacha for the shvach and peri. So here we're not talking about that he has to write that he has to write a shibud because and Mefarshim explained the difference is before when we mentioned it yesterday we were talking about a regular case where you're buying a field and you're trying to get insured against that a Baal Choyv may take it. Here you're talking about you're trying to get insured against that a Nigzol may take it. A shibud, there's no question. The shibud exists in that case. We said yesterday. The only question is going to be shvach and peir. So we see that if you wrote it, so we see that at least if you that it can be assumed that there's a likelihood that the guy is going to want shvach and peiros, and if he says that, then you have to write it. So b'mai, which case is that talking about? Iba bal choiv, if you're talking about that the field ends up getting taken away by bal choiv, mi isle peiri, again, like we said yesterday, does a bal choiv b'chlal get peiros? Well, amash mo bal choiv gave us a shvach. We said yesterday that Shmuel said a bal choiv only collects from the shvach, which means shvach ain't have a peiros loiv. Again, we discussed yesterday what shvach is versus peiros, not completely ripe versus completely ripe, or harvested versus not harvested, whatever.
Peiros is the one that's ripe.
So according to the different possibilities. So Rashi says at the top of Amud Beis that if the fruit still is almost ready to be harvested, but it still needs to be attached to the karka for a little bit longer, then already it's considered like peiros. And they talk about maybe the Rif holds that way also. The Baal Amor disagrees. There's a multi-way machlokas among the Rishonim.
So when is that considered?
So that's the thing. There comes a point when it's not a point of Rashi once it's almost ready to be harvested. Shvach Amagil Ksifayim, as we'll talk about at the top of Amud Beis, then it's already not considered payers anymore. Then it is considered payers. Wow. Sorry, then it's not considered shvach anymore. Before it's almost ready to be harvested, it's shvach. Once it reaches that point, then it's hamagil sefayim. That's almost ready to be picked up on your. Then it becomes peiros. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so whatever it is, Baal Choyv doesn't collect peiros. Elomad v'lekeach megazlon. So evidently, then this that he's telling Rav Chinen about Shilas must be talking about when you're buying from a gazlon, where you're trying to get insured against the nigzol taking it. Now, I'm going to be Yosef. So the question is, again, back to the ribbis problem. Yeah. If we said to begin with that you have a problem with it beside ribbis, especially with Nachman's explanation that even if he wrote it in the shtar, you still have a problem with ribbis, knew he's telling him write it in the shtar. I'm going to be Yosef. However, Yosef says, yes, but we're talking about a separate situation in the year. Suppose that the Gazlan himself has character. If he's going to be paying back with money, then it's mechzik ribis. I gave you money, and you're returning me a larger amount of money. But if he's returning karka, it's not really so obvious necessarily. It's not real ribis deraita. It's not a loan over here. It's a sale. So therefore, if he's returning him karka, it's not such a big deal. What are you talking about? For example, we know later on in Ezo Neshech, in the fifth paragraph, when we talk about all the Jinnim of Rivis, you're not allowed to borrow a saw of grain, let's say, intending that you're going to pay back a saw of grain, even though it's the same amount, if the price goes up in the meanwhile, unless with certain exceptions even b'makom sheyesh lekarka, even if the guy has karka, even if he's planning to repay you in karka, it doesn't matter. If the price of wheat goes up, you're going to have a problem of ribis over there, midrabanan. Again, there are exceptions. We'll learn that extensively later on. So you can't do that. So what's the difference over here? Amalei hafasim halva hafazvini. Yes, but the difference there is a full-fledged halva. So then, whether you're going to pay him with a saw of wheat, whether you're going to pay him with money, whether you're going to pay him with character, what have you.
Distinction between halva and
because that's what it is. This isn't really a halva. Halva is being it has the form of a sale. The fact of the matter is, he is buying it, expecting that he is actually buying a field. He finds later on that there's no ribbis on a sale, but the point is, given that the whole thing is only mechzi to ribbis, it's not real full-fledged ribbis. He bought it thinking that it's a valid sale and he's going to have this field, even considerably young, as we said before. It turns out in the end that there was no sale. Therefore, we're saying there's a certain problem mechzi to ribbis. We're not going to go so far as to say, Rabbi Yosef says, that if the Gazlan is going to end up paying him back in Karka, that we're going to apply that problem mechzi to ribbis. Ikadamri, or another version of the discussion, Amr Rabbi Yosef, Pachav Mayas, Kim Ken Shekhanu Miyadei, that another possibility Rabbi Yosef said is that when do we say that you're allowed to collect the Shvach is if you made a kinyan on it. So, because then what you have, Rashi says, the whole problem of Mechzi Keribit is Charam Tanach Mois, that you're going to get paid for the fact that you're going to get paid back for the fact that you allowed this guy to have your money to be able to use, you know, and later on he's going to pay you back more. Here, where you made a kinyan right at the time of the sale, then there's no at the time it's not, again, at the time it's not known that it's going to end up being a loan. It's thought to be the lokeach at least thinks that it's a sale. The lokeach thinks that it's a valid sale. So therefore, if they made a kinyan ahead of time that he's going to be able to collect the shlach, then he can collect the shlach. Omle Abaya, so again, Abaya asked in this version, so what? Konam Yadoy allowing you to take ribbit in a regular case of Sabbath. And again, Omle Hotham Havah, again, there's a difference. There it has a form of a Havah, here it has a form of a set.
Meaning yes,
you can. Again, the fact that we're not going to be so machmer on it as to say that if Konam Yadoy, that we're going to apply the rule that messy to ribbit, that looks like ribbit. Given that the whole thing is only messy, it only looks like Rebis, it isn't really full fledged Rebis, even Minatura, let alone Midrabah.
Rebis in a sale would look like what? I mean,
We'll learn about it in Ezer and Nesha. Let's talk about to understand the concept. There can be basically where you're prepaying for goods, and therefore you're going to get more of them you're prepaying, and then if the prices go down, then you're getting more of the goods than you would have otherwise. I'm giving him, let's say, $100, expecting to be able to buy 10 bushels a week.
Right.
In the end, the prices go down, and now wheat is at $8 a bushel.
Right.
Now you end up getting 12 bushels for the fact that you gave him the money early. In 2 months' time, Beth Hashem, we'll be breaking our heads over it in great detail.
So the outcome so far is
we don't have a problem with it if Konu Miyadoi or if he has Karta, according to the
Rebbe.
So Konu
Miyadoi, you mean?
Meaning they made a Kenyan. They made an actual Kenyan Sudder saying that I'm accepting on myself, the Gazlan is saying, I accept on myself the obligation that if this field gets taken away from you because of Zela, that I will give you the shot.
And why would I have a problem with Kenyan by
the Riyadoi? We thought it might still be a problem of Ribbis, and Rabbi Yosef is pointing out, since it's not real Ribbis anyway, it's only Mexican to Ribbis, then we're maple on a case like
that. So it's Mexican to Ribbis, why do you need a Kenyan?
Because otherwise it is Mexican to Ribbis. The fact that he made a kinyan ahead of time before the ribbis problem ever came into play. Remember, at the time, it's thought to be a valid sale. That helps remove the problem of ribbis. That helps remove the problem. Yeah, kind of. So we haven't yet finished. Later on, at the bottom of Tetzavah of the days, Rava is going to give us the halacha on these various issues that we've been talking about, and one of them is going to be on this question of whether you're entitled to collect the shvach. So wait, we're not there. Gufa. So now getting back to the original thing, we said that unlike when you buy from a gazlan, where you're not entitled to the shvach under ordinary circumstances, a bal choy, when he collects, is entitled to take from the shvach, he said. Amar Rava Teda. And Rava says, in fact, you can see that from the wording that's written in a shtar when you sell a field. Because the seller writes as follows in the shtar when the buyer buys the field, anot ekum, I will get up. In other words, I will stand behind it, and then come to base then on your behalf. The eshvi, and I will quiet down any problems that there may be with this field. The adaki, and I will cleanse it of any objections, any error. The imrik, and I will thoroughly cleanse it. Yeah, zvini ilin, these purchases, inun, them, the amalehun, and the work that was put into them, rishvachehun, and the shvach, the ekum kodamach, and I will stand it all up in front of you, and if it gets taken away from you, then I will reimburse you for all that. And this buyer agreed to all these conditions and bought the field.
This is part of the lashon.
It sounds a little like Tol Nidre. Okay.
Is it Tol Nidre?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, in particular, I guess there is the thing that they use all kinds of different legal terms of it. Yeah. The Eshfe, the Edfe, the Emre, like in Kol Nidre, yeah, the Kinuye, the Kinose, yeah. Yeah. No, so therefore, so we see from that that, yes, he includes the Shvach. So he's including, he's saying, the Moshe is saying, I'll reimburse you for the Shvach, evidently, because the Bachor is taking it.
And that's without a Kinyan?
That's in the Shvach. By that logic, if you're saying that depends on what's written in the shtar, matana, the loik siv lehachi, what about a matana? You don't write all that verbiage when you give somebody a matana. You don't take a chrayus for a matana. Are you telling me that in that case, if you gave a field to somebody as a matana, a bachoy would not be able to take the shvach, only the keren?
There's a very big difference between a matana
and a chrayus. So he says, yes, there is in fact a difference. Yes. So the question is, why? Is the power of Matana any stronger than the power of a Mecher?
He says,
Rav Chiya Ba'oven asked him. Amalei Ein, he says, yes, Yafa V'Yafa. In this sense, it is better. Because the Makabal Matana is at a certain disadvantage. If the thing gets taken away from him, easy come, easy go. He's not going to get it back. There's no achrayus. He's not getting anything back. He has no recourse. Therefore, when it comes to the actual karka, the Bachoyv has the ability to tell him that I'm taking it away from you because you shouldn't have accepted it, knowing that he has outstanding chayvus. You knew you're taking a chance in accepting it that he might get taken away from you. But when it comes to shvach, the buyer can say when it comes to shvach on a matana, the buyer can say, look, it's not like I honed you by doing shvach in here. Do me at least, you know, don't get. You're going to take away the field from me, I understand, fine. And that I kind of did wrong by you by taking it in the first place instead of leaving it as a chosim and echorid, but at least don't collect the shvach from me because I didn't harm your interest by putting shvach into this field.
And that would be
a valid claim.
So this is the present field, right?
So, yeah.
So the guy who actually got the present and made it better, put shvach into it.
So now we're saying that the bachoy can only collect from the actual field itself, not from the shvach. What that means, we're going to talk about it on the days. We're going to talk about what that means.
Can you acquire a field by matana?
Of course you can acquire a field by matana.
Which category? We said shtah, kesef, and...
Chazaka, first of all. Like chazaka knei, he tells him, go make a chazaka on it. And you're besides which, we mentioned kin chalifin, we can have that you sell him one field and give him a matana with the other. Okay, there's all kinds of possibilities, yeah. Incidentally, a little thing over here. Rashi uses the expression that the Baal Chayv can tell the Lekeach, am I zvanto? Why did you buy it? Now we're talking about a matana over here. We're not talking about a purchase. So Marshal, in fact, changes it. It should be am I kibalto? Why did you receive it? Marshal says you don't even need that. The Gemara is going to talk about later on in the Sugya. How comes it that a person gives a field as a matana to somebody else just out of the blue? It's not out of the blue. Usually what will happen is the guy did him a great favor, and therefore, like, he owes him one, and he gives him the field of matana. So he's saying, like, why did you cause things to come to this point where you're ending up getting a field when you know he has outstanding chayvus? So it's not really zvante. He didn't really buy it, per se, but, like, he sort of bought it with the great favor that you did to him. Okay. Rav Nachman. Homas nisim esayel el marshmul. So Rav Nachman says the following braisa is going to, we can use to support what marshmul said, this idea that a bal chayv can collect from shvach. However, our colleague Huna, Rav Huna, explains this right as talking about a different case, in which case it's no proof to Shmuel D. The Tanya, if somebody sells a field to somebody else and now it's being taken away from him, true Gozer, when he's now it's not a Gozer Sodom HaBeir like we said yesterday, now it's Moser. True Goyva, when he collects, meaning when the Lekeach is collecting to get reimbursed by the seller, Goyva is a Kerem and the Chosim Shabbatim, or Shvach Goyva and the Chosim Echorim. So there you go, since you're collecting Shvach, and evidently, the Baal Chayv must have taken the Shvach. However, Bechun of Chabrin, if we're saying that you're getting reimbursed for the Shvach by the seller, that implies that the Baal Chayv took the Shvach as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. However, Huna Chavrin Mukim Lava Mili Achrini. However, our colleague Huna explains that this Braisa is talking about a different case. But Lekeach Migazla, he would say how the mission. The Braisa just said Amolchus Sodom Achla Chaveri. Didn't say who's taking it away, whether it's Bachoyv or Gazlan. So Rav Huna explains it as referring to a Nigzol taking it away. In which case, all that proves is a Nigzol gets Shvach, which we knew already. Or no, we didn't know that yet. Fine, it would mean, or if we understood it that way, it would mean that. It would mean that the Nigzo could get Shvach. So again, he said yesterday that Huna himself had a sopik on that if he explicitly wrote it. So now, based on this, but I define, we would say that it means that you can.
can.
So it wouldn't prove anything about Bahai.
Once you take him at his field, you made it better than your problem because then you stole it.
Basically.
But we're talking here.
No, well, we said, yeah.
We're not talking about.
So that's the point of the point. Now we learn another place. Somebody sells a field to somebody else, he improved it, and a Balchov came and took it away from him. True Gova. So now when he comes to collect from the from the Moicher, if the improvement in value is greater than the expenses that he put into the Karka, he put in $10 and now it's worth $20 more. No, it's not so unlikely. It depends. Sometimes, then what he does is he can collect the shvach from the owner of the karka, because the owner of the karka is now going to have the shvach. And he collects the shvach meaning the increase in value
from the
bala karka. He collects the expenses from the bala karka.
10 goes to the first guy, 20 goes
and they're 10 from one, 10 from the other, then, in this scenario. If we want to use different numbers to keep it, fine. So he put in $10 and now it's worth $25 more. So fine. He collects 10 from one, 15 from the other. But if the expenses are more than the shvach, so he put in more expenses than the field becomes increased in value, then he's only entitled to collect up to the value of the shvach only from the balchov. The one who took away the field. So you can collect from him only the value of the shvach. The fact that you put in more yitzias, not my problem. If the yitzias are greater, yeah. So again, if the yitzias is less than the shvach, we said that he gets the yitzias. We said he gets negligence per se, but whatever. The yitzias is what he puts in. The shvach is the increase in value. And the rest of you, he ends up losing it. So the question is, how is Shmuel going to understand this braisa? So what's the scenario? This that we're saying. Again, we're saying that you're collecting the shvach, but you're collecting the shvach. But we mentioned a balchut. So evil akeach migazlan. If we're talking of, we have to understand, how is Shmuel going to understand this braisa on the basis of the dinim that he said so far, that a balchoyv can collect shvach, but a gazlan, that a balchoyv can collect shvach, but when you're collecting from a gazlan, you can't, we said. Because of the rib, yeah. So, if the braisa is talking about a case where you're buying from a gazlan, kasher reisha, then the reisha, saying that you get the shvach is a problem. He said when you buy from a gazlan, you don't get the shvach. And here it sounds like you do get the shvach because you're getting reimbursed for it. And if it's talking about a balchoyv, then both parts of the braisa are a problem. Because Shmuel said that the balchoyv collects the shvach. And here we're talking about that you're collecting the shvach from the balakarka. You're collecting hitzosh, your shvach from the balchoyv. In both cases, if the balchoyv is collecting the full shvach, why shouldn't you get reimbursed for the full shvach from him? Why are we saying in the first case you only get part from one and part from the other, and in the second case all you get is
you only get
your shvach and lose the rest of your dikya. So how does he explain it? So you buy the same ablakeach from a gazlan. So one possibility is it is talking about you buying from a gazlan, and like we said before, can she yesh like karka? Now we should come other. The two answers that Rav Yosef gave, that the gazlan has karka, or you made a kinyan, and either way in those cases we said you're able to collect the shvach.
But it's not.
But yeah, you buy the same. So fine, but you can explain the braisa that way and not have a problem. He buys same ablakeach, or you could say that it is talking about a balchoyv that's collecting. I said the question a little wrongly, actually. The question, really, if we say that it's a balchoyv, the question is, why is the balchoyv paying out for the yitzia at all? The balchoyv is entitled to collect the keren and the shvach. Everything that you're going to get reimbursed, you're going to go back to the original seller, assuming there was a chrayus, assuming you bought it with a chrayus, or if we assume that a chrayus tells us that it's for who. Why is the balchoyv on the hook for anything? Why is the balchoyv? I'm obligated to pay the yitzia or the shvach.
He's getting something that he didn't have.
But he's entitled to collect the shvach. Then what's the problem?
Well,
He's entitled to collect the... Again, we're going to talk about soon what it means he's entitled to collect the tax.
Right.
I mean, he obviously can't collect more than the value of his debt, so we're going to get back to that in a minute. But wait. So, Iboritem v'achoy v'loy kasha, kan b'shvach magia l'ksefayim, kan b'shvach she'en magia l'ksefayim. You can distinguish between two kinds of shvach. One, magia l'ksefayim, literally means that it's ready to be picked up on your shoulders and carried away. So in other words, like Rashi says, "Kodav likotzer." It's about, it's almost ready to be harvested. El Shaddai and Tzrichim l'karka, but it still needs to be attached to the ground a little more. It's basically ready, but it needs payers. Yeah, but it needs to grow for another few days or whatever to get completely filled out.
Okay.
So then it's like payers with Murim, and then the Baal Choyev cannot collect from them. And if he's going to end up collecting from them, then he has to reimburse the one that he took the field away from for the seed, for the expense he put into growing them. That's the point. So
it's like
the point.
Field, right?
It's like that. If it's before that point, it's like the actual field, right? So what is he not able? Yeah. What is he not able to collect from? It's shvach hamagil l'ksefayim, where it's almost ready to go. Yeah. Okay. The question is, well, ma'ase b'chol yom v'kamag b'shvul afil b'shvach hamagil l'ksefayim. Fine, but don't we have that there were many different cases that we find that Shmuel did allow a Baal Chayv to collect even from shvach hamagil l'ksefayim, even from this almost ready produce? The answer is like Kasha, Adam Masifik Shir Aru Shvacha. No, we have a different answer, rather. That actually, the Gemara is not really going back on its previous explanation of Magil Tzifayim or not, but we're adding a further distinction. Besides Magil Tzifayim or not, there's also the question, Adam Masifik Shir Aru Shvacha. The one case is talking about where the Baal Chayv is owed an amount equal to the value of the field plus the Shvach. So therefore, he's entitled to take the – so in other words, he lent the other guy $100. He's taking the field now where the field itself without anything in it would be worth 80, would be 70, let's say. Fine, and with the shvach, it's worth 100. Good, so he's taking the whole thing. That's the full value. But the point is, we don't say, for example, look, only the field itself is under shibud, only the 70 is under shibud. For 30, you're going to have to go to another custom shibud mine or whatever. Or we don't say that. The other case is where he only owes him the value of the actual land itself. Well, the fact of the matter is he's going to be collecting this land itself. We're not going to be saying that he's only going to be getting a piece of this land for reasons that the Gemara is going to talk about in a minute. So therefore, he is going to end up taking the full land with the shvach, but then he's going to have to pay off this guy the shvach in order to take it. So in this case, in other words, if the field itself is worth a hundred without shvach, and the loan was 100, with shvach it's worth 120. We're not going to make him take 5 or 6 of the field. He's going to take the whole field, and then he's going to pay him $20. Yeah.
And if the value of the field changes,
no, what we're talking about in between what?
In between the time
when he's coming to get his clothes collected, that's when we
increase. Let's say the value of the field increased from the time it was.
I'm not sure that matters. Well, maybe it does matter. Okay, so maybe the lakeach is then entitled to get reimbursed for some of that he's going back to the motor anyway. For the Karen, he's going back to the
motor. What happens to Barclay?
The Barclay himself. Okay, so what is he collecting that?
He would lose the parrot. If the field goes up in value, then he would.
No, well, look. I mean, he can't take risks, right? So whatever it is, we figure out at the time what the field is worth,
and it's worth now
at the time when he's collecting
before
the field.
Increase.
Yeah, no, it's worth at the time right now when he's collecting the field.
So that would be considered risk.
No, I don't. If he lent $100, right now the field is worth $100. Right now when he's collecting the field, it's worth $100. Last year it was worth only $80. Fine. Okay. Last year it was worth only 80. Right now it's worth 100. If right now it's worth 120, you'd have a problem with it.
Yes.
But if it's worth 120 with the shvach, what we're going to say is he's going to take the full field, and then he'll repay the shvach to the he'll repay the shvach to the.
To right.
So that may that fine. So then there may be no choice but to cut it. But we're going to talk about it in a minute. We're talking about the field as an apostiki. Fine. If you have no choice, you have no choice. Right. Obviously, the field itself is worth a lot more.
You would
yes.
have a choice to take the field that is increasing value.
Okay. So maybe you do that. Maybe you do that and you reimburse the retail. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, then the point is, then the Baal Chayv does have to pay the shvach. So now we can talk about how much shvach he pays, or does he pay the yitzia, et cetera.
If what?
If the field itself is worth the value of the loan,
right?
and with the Shvachit war.
Right.
So now he's taking the whole field, but he has to be paid for the Shvachit. Okay. Question is, fine, this works out according to the opinion that if that when a which we learned about in the Ksuvos about this machlokes, if the lekeach has money to be able to pay off the chayv, then he's not, if we say he's not able to prevent the Baal Chayv from taking the field, he doesn't have the ability, unless the Baal Chayv agrees, of course, but if the Baal Chayv doesn't agree, he doesn't have the ability to say, well, I have money, I'll pay off the other guy's debt, and let me keep the field.
Yeah.
There's an opinion that he can't do that. Well, then Shapu, okay, well, then in that case, then we understand. Therefore, it's being taken away from him.
Implying that if he had the money, he could stop the...
There's two different opinions about it. We learned to service. One is that if he has the money, again, remember, Reuven borrowed from his Baal Chayv. Shimon afterwards bought a field from Reuven. This field is being taken away from Shimon to pay off the debt. There's two different possibilities. Now, Reuven, remember, was in default. One way of looking at it is Shimon can go over to the Baal Chayv and say, look, I know you have the right to take this karka because you have a shibud on it. However, I'd like to keep it. I'll pay you for Reuven's chayv. One opinion is, fine, the Baal Chayv must accept that. He must take the money and leave him in possession of the karka. The other opinion is, no, the Baal Chayv has the ability to say, I'm sorry, I have a shibud on this karka. I'm taking it back. You have a problem. You're losing the karka. Go take Reuven to Beis Din and then get reimbursed by him.
And that's the halacha, by the way?
I don't remember actually. The halacha is that he is able to force him to accept money instead of the field.
Yeah.
That was the original thing. The money was the original thing with Allah.
Yeah.
Allah,
yeah.
He wasn't the field.
Yeah.
Right, but the question
okay.
is can that
so
was the question.
Yeah, okay.
Can he force him,
to accept the money?
Money?
Yes, he can. Yeah. Okay. So if it's so if, according to the opinion that even if he has money, he's not able to prevent the Baal Chayv from taking away the field, well, then fine. In that case, then he's not going to be able to prevent the field from being taken away. So therefore, of necessity, he's going to get repaid for his shvach. But according to the opinion that if the lekeach has the money to pay off the original debt, he's able to prevent the Baal Chayv from taking the field. Why is the Baal Chayv in that case able to take the entire thing with the shvach and then have to reimburse him for the shvach? Let the lekeach say to the Baal Chayv, "Ilu havali zuzi havam esakinach mikol ha'ara." If I had money, I would have been able to prevent you from taking the whole field. Hashter to lesli zuzi. Now, okay, I don't have enough money to pay you off the whole debt. Havli garba da'ara ba'ara. Give me a small portion of the land in this field, shir shvachoy, equivalent to my shvach. Why should I give you the whole field, shvach and all, and then you're going to reimburse me with money? Let me keep one portion of the field, equivalent to the amount of the shvach.
I don't want your money,
whatever. Yeah. The answer is, akusiki. Yes, but we're talking about over here a case where the field was originally designated as an akusiki. Namely, to Omale, that he told him when Reuven borrowed the money from the Baal Chayv, he said to him, the only method of repayment is going to be from this field. It's a stipulation. It's an apostiki. That's an apostiki. So apoitahekayim stands for that. Implying that the loan stands on this. So if it wasn't an apostiki, then according to that opinion, the lekeach would have the ability to do that. He'd take 3/4 of the field or what have you and leave him the other quarter. Because it's an apostiki, he ends up taking the whole field and just reimbursing him in money.
I'll pay $20,000.
Fine, again, Halacha is able to do that. We're talking about according to the opinion that he can't do that.
If the Baal Chayv is to be willing, there's no apostiki.
If there's no apostiki, we said it doesn't. According to this opinion, which is in fact the Halacha, he doesn't even have to be willing.
He doesn't have to be willing.
As long as the guy has money. He'd be able to prevent him from taking the whole field. Since he doesn't have money, he's able to prevent him taking away part of it. Okay. Next case. All this time we're talking about that you bought it without knowing that the field was stolen. And afterwards you discovered it was stolen and the nigsel was taken away. So we said, no, we didn't say it's negligence. We said that Rav said he's entitled to be reimbursed even for his shvach. And Shmuel said not for his shvach, with the exceptions that we said, the Gazon is going to be paying him a cash or whatever, not because of negligence. Okay, Shmuel's problem was because of ribis. Other than that, he would have been entitled to his shirach as well for that consideration.
It's only by a gal.
Right. Now another case, also with a galzim, but hiku basha and a shalova lacha. What if the lekeach knows that the field was stolen and still goes and buys it anyway? Now that's okay. So Amar Rav Moich Yeshle Shvach Moich. So Rav says in that case he is able to get reimbursed by the Moicher for the actual value of the karka. Moich means the actual value. Shvach Emoi, but he cannot collect the shvach because the karka doesn't, because the karka never belonged.
You know, it was yours.
Yeah. Shmuel Amafu Moich Emoi, whereas Shmuel says he doesn't, he's not even entitled to his money back. Now, the Moich.
Right?
No, the Pashtus, there was no Achrayus. Yeah. But my community, so what's the Machoikas? Rav Sava, Adam Yadeh Shekarka Emoi. Both Rav and Shmuel are going to agree that he knows the karka doesn't belong to him. But what does that result in? Rav Am Adam Yadeh Shekarka Emoi. Therefore, Vagam of Anosim L'Shum Pekodim. Therefore, when he gives the money to the Gazlan, he's not giving it to him as the money as payment for a field. He's giving it to him effectively as a Pekodim. So therefore, it has a pekodim. So fine, he's entitled to his pekodim back, but nothing more than that. Yeah. Okay, but name of the shrimp pekodim. Why doesn't he explicitly tell him, I want to give you this money as a pekodim?
He said the Gazlan is not trusted for pekodim.
You can't trust him for shavua and basin. Doesn't mean this guy might not have reason to trust him. Whatever. Okay, so why does he explicitly tell him as a pekodim? So, but like Macabre, because he may figure the guy doesn't want to accept. I tell him a pekodim, he's going to say, I can't be bothered. So like this, he'll pretend he's doing it to buy a field from him, when he knows it's a stolen field anyway, and yeah. Okay. Well, Shmuel holds. Also, it's true. Adam Yedei Shekarka Emoi. Fine. He knows the karka doesn't belong to him. The gum of anasim l'shum matana. However, Shmuel says, then we have to assume that he was planning to give it to him as a matana. Well, in that case, he's not entitled to it back.
Okay, how can he give him as a matana?
Why not? You're allowed to give a person a matana.
But you know it's stolen.
He knows the field is stolen. Right. Again, he knows this Gazlan stole this field. So he knows, what is he doing? Why is he paying money for it to the Gazlan? Because
right.
He's giving the Gazlan a matana. And therefore, not just stealing the field, but whatever, he's giving him a matana.
Yes.
And now he gets the field. And now, whatever, the field is, and now I know, I'll hold on to the field until the Balabas comes and then picks it up for me. Fine, but you know, but I mean, he might, put it this way, calm down. We're not talking, there's three parties over here. There's the Nigzol, there's the Gazlan, and there's the Lekeach. The Lekeach is giving the Gazlan a present. Fine, it might even be, actually, he's doing it for a good reason. He's saying, you know what, as long as the Gazlan, hold on, please, settle. He might be thinking to, exactly, he's figuring, as long as the Gazlan has the character, the Nigzol is never going to get it back from him. The Gazlan is a tough guy. I will pretend that I'm going to pretend I'm buying it from him, give him a Picardino or a Matana, as the case may be,
to give it back to
the Nigzol. Yeah. So he might be doing it for that reason. So the only difference is, what do we consider that money, a Picardino or a Matana?
Or let's say he has a field, it's going to be idle, he's going to wait 2 years, it's going to grow wheat. The guy may well stay there, he'll take care of the field, and this guy come back, I'll do it.
Maybe, I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to do that in somebody else's field, but okay. Okay, the question is...
What
about Moisei? What? Moisei means he doesn't get his money back. He gave it as matana. He gave the guys one. If the Nigzel now wants to reimburse him for having put out money for the kaka, that's his, yeah, but he doesn't have any yet. Okay, again, the name of Leila Shum Matana, fine. If we assume he's giving it to the Gazlan of the Matana, why did he say so? Again, Sifalei Milsa, he may figure that the guy is embarrassed to accept the Matana. Okay. Now, the problem is, if that's the point of their machlokas, we already have a different case where they argue on this exact same point, whether money that's given for something that cannot possibly take place is considered a Pekodin or Matana. They already argued about it in another case. Say if somebody gives money for Kedushin to his sister, Rav Amamoris Chosin, Rav says he's entitled to get the money back, or Shmuel Amamoris Matana. And Shmuel says the money is considered a Matana. Again, Rav Amamoris Chosin, because Adam Yadesh in Kedushin Topsin Bachos, a person knows that Kedushin are not Topsin and his sister, the gum of a Nasal Mashim Pekodin, therefore he meant to give it to her as a Pekodin. And again, the name of Lola Shim Pekodin, why didn't he tell her explicitly Pekodin? Because Sava Le Makabla Mineshi, he may figure she doesn't want to accept the Pekodin from me. She doesn't want that responsibility. She doesn't want to accept that responsibility, but like this, I pretend I'm giving it to her for Kedushin, she'll be willing.
Does that work? Does it both have to know that it's given to him as a Pekodin?
Or, you mean the Shomer, rather.
The Shomer,
the Echonim. Okay, so Mepharshim do talk about, maybe we don't mean it's exactly like the Kodim. Maybe there, maybe this person is not going to be obligated in all the usual things of a Shomer. Fine, but at least the point is you're entitled to be reimbursed back for it.
Even without the Shomer stuff, we said it
again,
was
fine. Again, we're going to talk about that concept later on in the Masechta. We're going to talk about if the guy says just Hanach Lafonai, put it in front of me or something, whether he has any responsibility. Fine, we're not even talking about whether the person has a responsibility or not. We're just talking about the fact is I gave you 100, I'm entitled to 100 back. Fine, if you're going to claim it was lost or stolen or robbed or what have you, fine. You might have reason to argue that your partner invested because you didn't accept responsibility for it. But if you still have 100 bane, I want it back.
If you state it to begin with, that it was supposed to be...
No, but again, even if not, the point is when they realize that they can't do Kedushin Ba'al, or he knew all along because Kedushin Ba'al, so he can't do, I want it back, then he's entitled to it back. Now again, Adam Yedei Hashem Kedushin Chayfsin Ba'al, so V'gomim V'nosim L'shem Matana, so he gave it to her as a present. And again, why wouldn't he explicitly tell her it's a present? Sifla Milsa, because he figures she's embarrassed to accept the present. So we already have that case where they're arguing on that exact point. Why do they need to argue about it again over here? The answer is tzricha. The e it's my baha, because if you only had it in our case of buying a field from a gazlan, then baha kama rav, then rav would say in this case that it's not a matana, delay abdi inchi diyaz matana slanakhra, because people don't usually give matana to a total stranger. Why would you be giving a matana to this gazlan? Well, never mind to a gazlan, but klal, to somebody who you don't have any previous relationship with. Nukhara means the stranger, yeah. Avagabe achoysoi, but with his sister, it's more likely you want to give her a matana. Eimah mordele v'shmol. Maybe he's agreeing with shmol, that's matana. V'itma b'hach, and if we only had it in the case of the sister, b'hach from a shmol, maybe only there shmol says matana for that reason. Avvaha eimah mordele v'dav, but in that case, again, because you don't usually get presents to strangers, maybe he'd agree with rab, that's the cotton. So therefore, it's tzricha, so we need both cases. Yeah, okay. Now, the question is, Bain the Rav the Om of Kodin, Bain the Shmuel the Om of Tana, Hai, La Ara, the Mai Kanachas, the Paris, Hei Chiochel. This person, whether you say the money is a Kodin or you say it's a Matana, either way, this person has no business buying this field in the first place. What is he doing going in there? Like you said, you know, he's going to hold on to it for a couple of years and enjoy the food. He knows it's not his. By what right is he even going into this field, and by what right is he eating Paris from it?
That's the big question. Yeah. Your.
Because sovereign, he figures like this. I'm not a
chosar.
Maybe he does. Yeah, he knows it's stolen field. He knows it's stolen field. It wouldn't be that hard for him to find out who. Yeah. Sovereign, he figures like this. I'm not a chosar. I will go into this field. Echos means I'll go down into this field. The avid, and I will work it. The echo begave, and I will eat the pears within it. Ki heichid de ka'avid yidu, just as the original nigzel himself would have done if he were in possession of it. L'chi osi mori ta'ara, and when the owner of the field comes back, then fine. At that point, duzoin l'rat nevul l'rav dal kodin the shmol dal matan matana. At that point, then the money that I paid to that gazlan, when it'll turn into a kodin or matana, as the case may be. Meanwhile, I'm not doing anything different than the owner of the field himself would have been doing. I'm not harming him, basically. Is he right to do that? Not necessarily, but that's what he's thinking.
He's also a gazlan.
Not really a gazlan like this. The field would have sat there empty, like this, you know, something. Okay, maybe and then maybe afterwards he'll go and reimburse it.
He's taking Paris to belong to him, knowing that it's a stolen field.
He's fixing it. Again, he's fixing. It might even be a little bit like Zen Nan of his other saucer that we talked about in Baba Kama. But even if we don't say that, even if we argue that there's a saucer over here, fine. So later on, when the Nigzel shows up, you could even be like them seeing a saying, maybe he doesn't know who the Nigzel is. Eventually, when the Nigzel shows up, then fine, he'll figure out with him how much to pay this for. Yeah. We're gonna have that. That's a good point. Actually, we're gonna have later on in Hamaskid. No, we're gonna have in Hamaskid later on. We're gonna have cases where a field was left abandoned by the owner. What basin is supposed to arrange that it shouldn't just be growing weeds or whatever? Yeah,
it's gonna be a terrible thing. I think we mentioned.
Okay. Okay. Let's finish up over here. Omar Rava. The bottom line, the halacha on these various things that we've been discussing for the last
time.
First of all, in the first case when you bought from the gazlan, the bottom line halacha, yesh lemoitz v'yesh leshvach v'afish lepirish leshvach. He is entitled to his actual money that he paid for the field. He is entitled to be reimbursed for the shvach, even by the gazlan, even if he didn't specify the shvach. So we're not worried about the whole problem of mechzi to ribis or anything like that. We just that's it. He's entitled to the shvach. Number two,
if there's a kinyan?
No, even without a kinyan, even without kalki, even nothing, he's entitled to his truck. Number two, which means, by the way, Rashi says, it also means, therefore, that what Shmuel said on Amud Aleph to Rechinin of Arshilas, that you as a sofer have to check with the seller when you're insuring him against the nigzel, taking it back, you don't even have to check with him because it's a given that there's going to be shvach, is going to be reimbursed. Number two, Hikiv Arshain Shalai Velach, so if he knew that it was stolen and bought it anyway, the case earlier on Amud, that we just finished discussing, then Moiz Yeshlei Shvach Emle, then the halacha is, like Rav again, that he's entitled to his money, but not to his shvach. So in these two things, the halacha is like Rav. Shvach for sure not, because we said it's Lashum Pekodin. So there's no shvach in a Pekodin to talk about.
We don't know what shvach means, right? At this point, or?
No, we said that shvach means whatever improvements he put into the field. That was where he bought it without knowing. Without knowing it's stolen. You can't say it's the first time in Pekodin. Here was where he knew it was stolen. Right. And number three, Achrayus Torah Sofer, who number three that we started talking after the Mishnah about the on your Dalet Amud Aleph, that we talked about Achrayus Torah Sofer, that Shmuel explained that the reason why that Abanan hold whether the Shtar has Achrayus in it or not, you can't return it because Achrayus Torah Sofer, even if you didn't write Achrayus, as it was written, that is true Ben Vishtari Havah, Ben Vishtari Mechach Memper. That is true of both kinds, not like the distinction we made in the Gemara over there, that by Havah, yes, by Mechach Memper. No, it applies across the board. That's the point. That's why the Chachamim say, regardless whether the Shtar Chayiv has Achrayus in it or not, even if Achrayus is not written, it's as if Achrayus was written. Therefore, you can't return it because we can't return it to the Malveh because he might use it to take from the Chosim Shabbatim, third party. What? Not even so much that we're worried about Knunya per se, but let's say we don't know at this point. The Shtar may have been dropped by the Malveh. It's still a valid Shtar. But maybe not. Maybe it was already paid off, and maybe the loiva dropped the shtar, and now you're going to return it to the malva. Yeah, we could be talking about whether it's chayav moida, in chayav moida. So yeah, I mean, if we say it's chayav moida, then it would be an issue of knunya, that maybe the loiva is admitting that it's paid off, but they want to make a knunya. If you're going to say in chayav moida, then you don't return because what the loiva is claiming it was forged or paid off or what have you. You can't allow the malva to continue.
This was the opinion of the Rabbanan, in any case.
This was the opinion of the Rabbanan, right? So this that Shmuel explained, right? Tos sefer who? Good. That's
what is a tos
sefer? That's what it means. That you didn't write it. It's considered a tos by the sefer, and therefore it's still incorrect. Okay.
What I was talking about is
Yeah.